Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game many times bad and tell you why the bleep we played it. I am the Search for Sean. This is Trigonometry Thomas and Math Mason. And we played Math Blaster, Episode 1. Also could be titled Episode 1, The Search for Spot, if you played it on the PC. We did not. We played it on the Super Nintendo. How you guys doing? Wake up, guys. Wake up.
Sean, what the fuck? We're supposed to rot our brains.
What are you doing? What are you doing to us?
I was elected to lead.
Not to math.
I thought you were just gonna say Math Blasters, and I thought you were gonna be really quick with your intro, and then you kept going, and I was like, shit, it's not funny anymore.
It's hilarious.
Well, the joke's dead, but I committed.
I played a lot of educational games growing up. I grew up in the 90s, so there were lots of random educational games.
Bastard.
And one of them that I played as a kid was called Math Blaster, Episode 1, The Search for Spot, on the PC. Windows 96, I believe, to be exact.
Wow.
Is what it ran on, or maybe it was 95. It was one of those ones. And I was like, oh, they made a console version. I never played that. That would be really fun to get and cover on the podcast. Let's just
was
say
it?
I might have been a little nostalgia blind.
A little.
I know.
And also,
a little, and might have.
The console version isn't as intuitive or pretty as the PC version.
No. No.
That being said,
let's get this out of the way. This isn't a bad game.
No.
It's edutainment. That being said, I can imagine most podcast listeners will see this pop up in their feed. First of all, if you're following us, thank you. Second of all, comment if your reaction was, what the fuck?
Why?
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 And again, that's something we can just talk right here. Educational games, especially on like the Super Nintendo and the Sega, were a big industry, especially in the 90s. So it makes sense that they would port some of the PC games over to there, because the Mario is missing, Mario's Time Machine, Mario teaches typing, and a bunch of other, you know, different type of little educational-based games. The video game boom, there was a reason they were getting put onto these systems left and right.
Strange enough, the Bill and Ted game is educational.
Really?
Yeah. Which is, I mean, I guess it makes sense because the movie is about them trying to do their history report. But also, did they actually learn anything in their history report?
I was going to say, if Bill, saying that Bill and Ted is historically accurate is like I don't know, calling the boy in the striped pajamas a comedy, like that's
it's like calling any biopic historically accurate.
Anyways,
but it is weird that on the same console that you could play Michael Jackson's game, you could play educational game.
That is true. But you're telling me Moonwalker wasn't educational?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was very educational.
I learned a lot.
Yeah, we were educated in art. Smooth criminal, baby.
Yes.
I think the big thing to start off on this game, when talking about the actual game, it's super basic.
It's math.
So basic.
It's math. You just solve math problems, do basic shooting, flying. Yeah.
If you're anything like me and you're mathematically declined,
Mason gave over on level 1.
It goes from level 1 to 12 in terms of mathematics.
Which, and level 1 being basic addition, up to level 12, which is division.
And listen, you put numbers and symbols in front of me. It's like trying to learn a second language for me. It's math is not my strong suit.
Mm-hmm.
Math is my kryptonite.
All right,
math is your kryptonite, the only one you have.
Yep,
it's my strongest kryptonite.
I was gonna say Mason has more or less an infinity gauntlet of weaknesses.
I was going to say, instead of an infinity gauntlet that grants strength, Mason puts it on. It's like, my weaknesses.
I put it on and I become dust.
Well, I'm gone, folks. See ya.
It is. It's a game.
It's in the lightest of terms.
No, it still is.
Again, like, it's better than a lot of edutainment games because it's literally not just education. Like, there is some challenge. You know, you have to aim at the fucking... you have to aim at the answers for the math equations. You have to platform while platform in the loosest possible sense.
You have to float with your jetpack and occasionally fire your gun.
Did the platforming level in this remind anybody else of Doodle Jump?
A little bit.
It reminded me there is that bonus level in Super Mario World where you hit the question mark blocks. You hit the blocks,
yeah,
and you're guessing each run. You just go up each level for it. It's in like the fourth or fifth level in Mario World. That is kind of what it feels like.
There's a lot. There's some like vertical moments in the new Super Mario Bros. Games that are kind of similar to this.
So yeah, there is an actual game here. This game's fucking boring.
So dull.
Because it's math. It's probably the best edutainment game I've ever played, but that's kind of like saying, ooh, this McDonald's burger I've had is the best one. No one cares. It's McDonald's burger.
Yeah.
It is not Mario's Time Machine in my book, which is my favorite educational game that I've ever played. Mainly because that's
education.
Just... It is, because it's Mario walking up to, like, Leonardo da Vinci and being like, tell me all about you. And it's hilarious. He's like, Mario needs to go find information on Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. Da, 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 da.
Oh, what date is he? Oh, he's at the play.
Oh, no. And I think something that's lost, like, when booting up the Super Nintendo version, immediately what was lost is the little silly videos that went with the PC game. And they're dumb, they're really little made, but like there was some charm to these characters in the PC version that just don't exist in the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah, Sean showed me a handful of them. They're cute. I don't mean to shit on Sean, but I feel like a lot of this
I was seven.
Like, this is a lot of nostalgia bait for you, but...
They were cute, they were funny, and as a kid who loved Star Trek, you know, and things like that, this was kind of like that really, like, oh, there's more things that, like, are like this, and things like that, and it's fine, it's a kid's game. Where, you know, we've talked about a couple of games that were definitely meant for babies. This is meant for kids, and it's meant to try to hold attention of kids who need help with math. And so, yeah, it's not going to be, you know, something that is, 36-year-old me is going to be like, yep, that's, I'm going to every day play Math Blaster.
Game of the year, baby.
Game of the year 1994.
Game of the year.
Again, like, I'm not here to just shit on this game. I feel like that'd be very immature. But I just, it's very similar to when I played Sneak King. I know these guys disagree, but I just got nothing out of it. The developer's fucking hilarious.
Developer is hilarious for it. Davidson Games, I think, or Davidson and Associates. The thing about
sounds
the
like
90s,
a law firm.
They kind of are. They made educational software. They were founded the same year Mario was created.
Wow.
And in the 90s, they started just acquiring companies left and right. One of which company was titled, let me see here.
Using Wikipedia, sorry.
Condor Inc. It was called Condor Inc., which then they renamed
Blizzard
North. The studio that made Diablo was owned by the same company that made Math Blaster, 2 years apart.
Where did the money come from to buy them? Did it come from the millions of sold copies of Math Blasters?
I was going to say, you want to know where it came from? The schools that paid fucking Math Blasters.
Is that where... No, man.
Well, because Math Blasters was everywhere because schools paid for it, because it was one of the entertainment games kids liked.
Yeah, yeah, they made a bunch, and then when they were acquired by Knowledge something, I think, or somebody else, Knowledge Adventure is what they became. They re-released all the Math Blaster games, but under a different title, and they created Reading Blaster.
Man, that does sound like something a teacher would say to, like, their very unenthusiastic students. Hey, kids, we're going to go on a knowledge adventure. Mrs. Garrison. We've been here for 6 hours. We want to go home.
They made Math Blaster, Reading Blaster. They also had the Fisher-Price video game license. So any Fisher-Price-based games of the 90s, they made.
Made a couple Rescue Heroes
games. Mm-hmm. Syracuse Learning product lines, as well as the product line of Dr. Brain. I'm not sure what Dr. Brain is, but something they made.
That sounds like a Ninja Turtles villain.
It does, too. It sounds like it would have been in the 80s Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And eventually Blizzard, their section of Blizzard would move on and not be a part of them.
Really?
I know, shocked. You're saying that Diablo 4 was made
by different people? I, for one, am sure.
But
they told me they didn't want to stick around with the Math Blaster guys.
I do think educational gaming is such an interesting genre because they go together not particularly well. Education and gaming, like, again, this doesn't mean there isn't fun educational-based games. And you can obviously learn and stuff, but it's almost all of the good ones are just, so you're practicing, you're not necessarily learning something, you're practicing stuff that you already know to help you, you know, like this game, if you don't know how to add, you're not going to be good at this game. If you know and you need practice and are working on mental math, it's great for that. So, like, you're not necessarily learning stuff, it's more to refine skills. And
yeah.
It's just such a weird genre for me.
Well, nowadays, if you're learning stuff from video games, it's because they integrate shit into it. Assassin's Creed 2, for example, where you learn a shit ton about Leonardo da Vinci.
Really?
Because he's one of the main characters in the game.
Do you assassinate him?
No.
He builds you all your weapons.
Oh,
tools.
That's awesome.
He's the one that makes it, he makes your assassin's knife.
Really?
Thing. Yeah.
That's cool.
And he's like, oh, well, I'm going to have to cut your finger off. He's like, just kidding. I actually have developed a way that I don't have to cut your finger off.
Wow.
Or Assassin's Creed 4, where you learn about the Golden Age piracy or whatever. So there's, I guess the Assassin's Creed games are the modern entertainment games.
Put that as your tagline.
But I definitely feel like because of the way the 90s were with all of the video game boom that was the 90s, it feels like there would have been one or more like real standout education games. Like it feels like some studio would have just been like, I've figured it out.
Yeah, you'd think.
It's, well, because, again, you're not really going to a video game.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it is. So video games would turn on when you're home from school and you want to do something other than learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Educational games are like like what your mom gets you for Christmas. Hey, I asked for Rayman. Here's Rayman Math. Fuck!
Oh, that was a game.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I haven't thought about that in a while.
People aren't going to Guitar Hero to learn how to play the guitar.
No.
They're going just to, you know,
It may inspire guitar players, but you're not going to...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a training program.
That's what Rocksmith is for.
I would love to hear from, you know, some random scientist or mathematician that was like, I got my inspiration because I played Math Blaster. That's why I became a NASA scientist.
Yeah, just the next Nobel Prize accepted speech we're here about Math Blaster.
I want to thank Math Blasters, not my parents, Math Blasters.
My parents did nothing, but God saving Spot inspired me.
They did buy me Math Blasters. That was cool of them.
And at least for this game's sake, they made a story. It's very basic, and you can beat the game and get through the story in 9 minutes. As the playthrough on the PC version of that show was like, oh, yep, 9 minutes.
Yep.
It It is what it is. I don't think was trying to be much, and it's not like there's nothing bad about the game, but also I don't think there's anything good about the game.
It is a game that exists.
Exactly. It is one of the games. You know, I guess, you know, like we usually talk about, you know, some of them controls. How did this game control, do you feel?
It functions. It's a game. It's...
There's not much to it. It's arcade controls on a gamepad, you know, on a controller. It's push one button to fire, directionals, push other button to jump.
There's really nothing. It's like asking, how well does this table function as a table?
Clearly someone who has never gone shopping for a table.
Are you calling me table elitist?
No, I'm saying that you might not...
Are you calling me table privileged?
Possibly. Mason, who is way too privileged to go buy a table. He has the paws go do that.
You've never had to work for your table.
I do find it a little interesting in the controls that considering it came out on the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis, and there were a lot of other stuff on the PC when it played, that it doesn't utilize all four Super Nintendo buttons, or if it's just two buttons, the Sega Genesis controller has way too many buttons for a two-button game.
Yeah.
I mean, it always has too many.
That's fair, but it is like...
This would have been great on the NES.
Yeah, it feels like a game that was... Because they did port several games over to the NES that were educational. It feels like, I don't know if this studio did or if any of them had, I couldn't find any, but it does definitely feel like, hey, we ported over the NES. Oh, the NES is done? Port over to whatever this is. It's got Super in front of it.
Right.
We don't have to do anything different, right? The same thing, right? Just kind of Super. Right? Right?
Right.
But, yeah, there's not much to it. I thought, graphically, for the SNES, it's fine.
Yeah.
I do like the character designs in the PC game. They are very...
bit crunched.
Yeah, bulky in this version. But they are cool little designs. Blasternaut in the PC game is a sassy bitch. In this game, he just kind of occasionally sounds like Marvin Martian.
Yeah.
But he...
Warner Brothers, call your lawyers and then have them fire everybody that works for you anyways.
Spot is just kind of there. Like... I think that's my biggest problem. And if you take away from this game, Sean was very nostalgic for it and wanted to talk about MathBlaster. I apologize to all. But is that the character personalities that they had in the PC, which isn't that much, but what little they had was all taken away in this version. And that's just kind of sad to me because they are interesting enough that you could have done some cool things with it. And instead of like, an updated or a helpful port, like a port that I did something a little different. It was just a dumbed down version of the game they already made.
I'm going to make you guys play the Dr. Seuss Living Books in retaliation.
Fuck you. Christ on a fucking
life. We're going to play the Thomas the Tank Engine game.
That's not retaliation. That's better.
Yeah, because it then reads you a story at the end of it and you just listen to Thomas the Tank Engine.
I own those stories.
It's a beautiful little game that it was clearly meant for 3-year-olds.
I'll make you guys play one.
Solve this 6-piece puzzle.
I'll make you guys play one of the Blues Clues games.
I feel like I've played one of those.
Tan. Oh, God.
In the end, there's just not much to this game, which is kind of disappointing, but also, unfortunately, par for the course.
Yeah. It's just how it is. That's how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have anything interesting you want to add to this game? Or are you just, like, asleep?
Other than making you guys play the Living Books? No. I'm not really going to do that. It's a joke. Although you made us play this, and it's not far off.
Oh no, I made you play Math Blaster for 15 minutes because that's how long it took you to game over on level 1.
Shut up! Shut up.
But would this game have been better on the Wii? Point and click, baby.
Oh, Lord.
Gaming would, I guess, controlled better.
It might have.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah. On this podcast, we ask two important questions of every game that we play. The first question, how does it hold up?
Who cares?
It's a game.
Who cares?
I... Fine. Like, as far as a Super Nintendo game, fine. As far as everything, it's... You want to know my biggest complaint for the holding up on it and why it, you know, hold up a lot of times is replayability. You know one of the things that is not good about the replayability on this?
The math part. It's not the math part, I guess, John.
It's called Math Blaster Mason. The math part was insinuated that it was part of the game.
Yeah, you plug it in, turn it on, start the game. Oh shit, there's math in this?
Just playing blasters, hope there isn't any math in this.
Hope there's no math in this. Ah, nuts.
Damn.
I'm playing blasters. You know what would make this game? Oh, holy shit, better than math.
If only blasters had math in it.
Oh my! Davidson's like, we've got it. But the replayability thing that legitimately kind of bothered me. Again, not that I was going to bust out Math Blaster very often for it, but like, there was no high score like chart at the end. Like that was something of the PC game is you got to enter in a name, whatever, and had your high score. Because if you're going to have a game that's entirely based about arcade scoring, there's no high score. That's just bad development right there. That's just bad. I know that I'm old man yelling at cloud of a math game from 94.
I was going to say, as much as I'm yelling at it to do better, the wall isn't responding.
That's fair. But yeah, that's my one thing. So no, it really doesn't hold up because there's no, on top of the game being just there, there's not much replayability because once you beat it, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Other than to refine your math, which Mason definitely needs to do. So, Mason, you have been assigned to play Math Blaster every night for the next 7 weeks.
I did nothing to muffle that. Let me try that again. That's better.
The second question we ask of every game that we play. Would you like to see a remake or a reimagining in a modern setting?
Yeah, you know what? Give me a gritty reboot. Give me a from-the-ground-up remake, except instead of being playing like this, plays like Gears of War or Halo.
You're peering over the thing.
You're peering over, and it's equations, and you got to shoot them in the distance.
Give me...
He says the fuck word like 80 times a sentence.
Give me a Doom clone where it comes up with a little math equation at the bottom, and you have to shoot the enemy with the right answer on him.
I was going to say, that's how you get a flashlight, is if you solve math?
Yes.
You cannot see in this game.
Survival horror. There you go.
Survival edutainment. Survival edutainment. Yes.
So I think my answer is definitely no, I don't want a remake of this game or a reimagining.
No.
That being said, as we jokingly said here, there are ways to make goofy, fun educational games. If you take the right approach.
Yeah, the first step, don't make it a math game. Sorry.
Part of the education system. You need math, Mason. Math is really important. Like, really, really important.
Is that why you're bad with money? I don't know shit about math?
Listen, I understand that it's important. That doesn't mean I have to like it. It's like eating my vegetables.
Also really important, Mason. Really important. Healthy. I sound like an old man.
Just ask me. I just coughed up blood this morning. No,
my kidneys are fine.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, no,
I don't want a remake or a reimagining of this game. I am not clamoring for more edutainment games because I'm not a fucking old man. It's like these kids need to learn something. Vidya gamings, but. If you're gonna do it, I'd say do it like Putt-Putt or the other humongous entertainment games, where it's edutainment, but it's more of a point-and-click adventure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That there, I, I think you could also approach it the same, obviously different genre, but the same way that Murder of the Sonic the Hedgehog was approached. Mm. Taking something and putting it into it, but making sure the game around it is good. I think you could do something very similar into that to make something educational and
like
fun.
An educational crap. What's the
visual novel?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. See, like the Sherlock Holmes games, I guess, are kind of educational, but not for like stuff that matters. Like, sure, I now know how a human body bleeds out when like stabbed 28 times. I don't need to know that in real life
yet.
You know, I'm fairly certain that there was a MythBusters game for PC, and like if that's the kind of thing that like gets kids into science, then I'm all for that. That's like a fun way to get kids into science. It was a hey kids, how much to make this explosion even bigger?
Right.
We've got one pile of dynamite. How much more dynamite do we add to make the explosion bigger? Like that, you know, make it
17. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Make it fun.
So there are options. There are ways to make educational games work and make them fun. And I think that means they need to be games first. Education comes second.
Yes.
Instead of what we kind of gotten, which is most often education first, game second.
Well, it's like a topic on religious games or whatever. Make it a game first.
Yes.
Then let it, if it's going to proselytize to you, let it proselytize to you, you know. But like,
this
if
time
it's
proselytizing math.
this time our Lord and Savior, math.
Lord and Savior, long division. Oh,
I personally worship our Messiah, Blasternaut.
Spot, obviously.
So that's true. Spot is the sun. But there's just... I'm glad that we played an educational game. I'm glad we had to talk a conversation about it. I don't know the next time we'll have one on this podcast. Who knows? But it still was, in my personal opinion, something fun to at least go down an avenue that we've not gone down.
Yes.
But what do you guys think? Are you guys fans of educational games? Have you played Math Blaster or any of the Mario games?
I don't want to insult our fan base, but if you are an active fan of educational games, good on you, I guess.
Yeah.
You're stronger than us.
Tell us what has led you to your love of educational games. That would be interesting. Let us know. Send us an email. bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. bleepyouplaying@gmail.com.
I was going to call him a nerd. I'm like, well, pop, call him a kind of block.
Right? Yeah, you know, like, hey, you nerd, why am I pointing at a mirror? But if you want us to play a game, educational or not, any game, or maybe watch a film, and you want us to do a podcast on it, you can do that. Over on our Patreon, we have a tier, our Super Bleephead tier, and if you sign up for that, $15 a month, you can tell us to play a game or watch a film, and we'll do it. We'll do it. We've done it once. We'll do it again. Yeah, please do that. We would love, A, the support, but B, we like being, it makes sometimes us branch out from things that maybe we wouldn't do. But yeah, that's been Math Blaster. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting. And we'll catch you guys next time. Burn it.